From KSRQ Radio, Pioneer 90.1, this is Northwest Minnesota Roads of Steel.
I've been working on the railroad all the livelong day. I've been working on the railroad just to pass the time away.
Roads of Steel features the Soo Line, Northern Pacific, and Great Northern Railways. Railways that help build the Great Northwest of Minnesota. Roads of Steel is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. The Soo Line Railroad, officially known as the Minneapolis-St. Paul and Sault Ste. Marie Railway, was a rail system that stretched throughout the upper Midwest, connecting cities such as Chicago and Minneapolis-St. Paul, with points west in North Dakota and southern Canada, to include Winnipeg and Sault Ste. Marie. The Soo Line served the northern plains of America and served the southern Canadian provinces of Ontario and Manitoba. The Soo Line was merged into the Canadian Pacific Rail System in 1992, and the name Soo Line was discontinued. Men who performed critical duties for the Soo Line share their stories and memories as we look back on the Northwest Minnesota Roads of Steel. Retired Soo Line employee Al Steinauer grew up in rural Thief River Falls, Minnesota, on a farm. Like most farm boys, Al had designs on farming.
And I was going to be a farmer. Started farming. The 60s were not good times. I had a handful of cows and some machinery and worked with my dad, rented a quarter of land. And a neighbor came over, told me that they were taking applications for the electrician apprentice. And I went down and applied, and about 2 weeks later, I got a notice to get a physical. Railroad physical at that time was pretty simple. They checked you for color blindness, bend over and reach to make sure your back was halfway loose, and basically you were on. I went to the foreman, and he told me to appear at 10 o'clock the 10th of January, wearing a pair of coveralls, work shoes, and a hat and a pair of gloves.
As a young boy growing up in Northwest Minnesota, Al had a strong interest in mechanics and in trains.
I guess I was always fascinated with trains and probably ships too, to a lesser extent. Airplanes, and probably even less yet to trucking, but yeah, it was, I guess transportation was an interest. That's probably why the neighbor mentioned it, because I'd ask him questions about the railroads, different types of locomotives. I read probably a copy or two of the model railroader or something like this a year. It fascinated me, yes. Mm-hmm. I was a rail fan long before I became a railroader. When I hired here now, the steam had gone for about 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. What makes a train move, the locomotive is a diesel electric. It has a large engine in it, which turns a generator, and which in turn there are four motors hooked to on the wheels, and they're geared to the wheels, and that's how the locomotive actually pulls. My job was to be, you would check that, and it's all controlled electronically. Some locomotives, most of them that I was actually worked with, had air over hydraulic. I was 20 years old. They'd give you a job for 4 years. After that, they had the choice of hiring you or not. But you had also the obligation to learn the trade. Well, I worked here a year and a half, and they merged with several other, or three other railroad type of things, basically controlled by the same outfit, but they centralized their maintenance and they laid us all off. When I hired, there were probably 20 some men in the roundhouse. When I left, there were seven. And I was the only one that was guaranteed a job. One other, the electrician, also did go to work in St. Paul for a short period of time. And I went back down. When the opening came down in Minneapolis, I went down there and fulfilled my apprenticeship type of thing. At the time, the railroad was run by older men, and they were they were retiring and be opening, so that you get what you call set up. You didn't have a dating, but you would be earning full pay, and you'd be working as an electrician or a mechanic until you received your dating. And railroad was everything with dates.
Al's responsibilities as a mechanic were in the Soo Line Roundhouse in Thief River Falls, where he worked on locomotives.
Here was basically to learn to assist the electrician and to learn the trade. We worked with Baldwin locomotives up here. Thief River, at that time, the Soo Line probably had about a little over a dozen Baldwin locomotives. And they're relatively crude. They're about like a two-cylinder John Deere, basically. They ran slowly. They were huge displacement on the engine. Baldwin come with the theory, basically, if you needed something, then they would make it probably a quarter size bigger. Everything was always bigger. But they were orphans. The people up here knew how to work them, how to make them load properly, and how to fix them. And every 3 years or so, they would go down to Minneapolis to main shop work. And they'd come back with a fresh coat of paint, and it would take, you know, these guys here a month or two to get them so they were actually serviceable for the road. That's where my big change was, probably with the apprenticeship. Baldwins were very physically, the interlocks were in the open. They were nothing but sliding fingers on a brass bar. Very physical to see. I didn't learn to read blueprints until you got tangled up with the General Motors locomotives, and they were quite a bit more complex, so you had to learn the blueprints, and that was probably my main problem. You get past that, and then the job is relatively easy.
Working in a roundhouse could at times be very physically demanding. The work involved in maintaining locomotives was very demanding, very complex at times. Teamwork involving many skilled roundhouse workers was a key for success.
A locomotive would be scheduled to come into what they call the back shop for heavy maintenance, and they would tear the engine down basically to nothing. They'd pull all the pistons, the liners, everything out of it and start over again. And part of it was to make sure that they had, this was scheduled in on a certain day, and to make sure that they had all the parts there. They had 16 cylinders, 16 rods, 16 heads, everything was there. And it would be scheduled for so long to come out. And you worked with, there'd be four shop foremen there. And I worked with them and learned how they operated manpower-wise. You had multiple shop crafts. The electricians would disconnect the fans. You had the pipe fitters would disconnect the pipes. You had the boiler makers who would take the bolts off the roof so they'd lift it off the roof. You would have the tinners would actually overhaul the radiator after you once got them out, and the machinists would supervise lifting it off so they didn't tear the locomotive apart. So you had all these crafts, and you had to schedule all these different people. These different foremen had to work together to accomplish a certain project, and you were constantly working with multiple crafts.
Safety was a huge consideration for the railroads. Any railroad, safety was emphasized due to the dangers of work, including the roundhouse. Al Steinauer describes the conditions of the roundhouse as he worked for the Soo Line.
Well, a roundhouse is not necessarily round, but you have a turntable out in front, which it turns 360 degrees, and you can turn a locomotive completely around on it. Off to the one side, you'll have tracks that radiate off, and they're probably the distance of a little more than a locomotive before you get to the building itself, and you have the clearance on the inside then so you could bring these locomotives in. It's a very high building. The building would, probably 20-foot ceilings, dark, dingy, smoke-laden. There are pits that you wind up so you can get underneath the locomotive, probably about 3-4 feet deep that you walk right underneath the locomotive to check your braking, your traction motors. You have brush holders on them. You have four of them, and you have a bunch of journal boxes to oil the support of the traction motors and the wheel bearings. So people have to go underneath them and to work on them. You have these pits that you can fall into. It's a different place. Mechanically, you're responsible for, you know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Very subject to call or odd shifts and this type of thing. The I went to work at 10 o'clock at night, and we got off at 6 o'clock. We worked to protect the passenger train, which came in at 11:10, and from the north, and it went north again at 4:20 to go north again. So we had to be out here just to make sure that we had a locomotive ready as a backup or any problems that they had on the passenger train. Passengers at that time were high priority.
Maintenance of locomotives in the roundhouse in the wintertime could prove challenging and dangerous.
A lot of it, especially in wintertime, with the radiator shutters would freeze up, and you'd have to thaw them out and shovel them off and get them going. In winter, you didn't want to bring a locomotive into the roundhouse because they would thaw out, and water and electricity just do not mix. If they were there for over an hour or so and you had to go underneath, shall we say, for a scheduled maintenance, you actually put full rain gear on when the water would just come pouring down on you.
A large majority of locomotive repair took place in the roundhouse. However, that wasn't always the case.
Thief River was very fortunate here. Our train crews would try everything in within their power to get the locomotive to us. People in Harvey or on the western side was a different philosophy, and those people spent a lot of time out on the road. And your success ratio on the road were quite limited. You never had the right part, or you couldn't get underneath them. We were blessed here with train crews that really, really tried to bring them home, to get them to the barn so we could take a look at them. It's a very, very dirty job. You're dealing with brake shoes, which are carbon, brushes, which are carbon, and then you mix that with always dripping oil and fuel oil and this type of thing, so you're basically working in lamp black. You definitely were dirty. Very, very few had Saturday and Sundays off working days. Very, very few people did in running repairs on locomotive roundhouses. The people here were, I thought they, and I still do, that they were the best mechanics on the railroad. Conscientious, knowledgeable, willing to work, willing to accept responsibility. I was blessed with that. Pride, knowledge, they're just good employees. There were a lot of good ones down in Minneapolis, too, but it's a different philosophy in a large area. Like I say, with the operators, the engineers that I worked with and stuff like this, too, they were very reliable on telling us what worked, what didn't work. If we could get on the radio and talk to them, they would tell you here's what's happening. Mm-hmm. I could tell them back again, too, well, check this, can you do this, can you see if this relay is working, this type of thing. A lot of troubleshooting was done that way. We didn't consider ourselves working for, shall we say, the mechanical department or the operating department. We were working for the Soo Line Railroad. To us, it was to get an engine over the road or get the train over the road.
The purpose of the roundhouse was for repair and maintenance, although it was a source for scheduling.
When I first came here, the engineers, we call them tied up, they registered and went to work within the roundhouse. And the roundhouse personnel maintained their work schedule. We call it the board, where so-and-so was on such-and-such call and this type of thing, and we maintained their board. So we got to know the engineers quite well. The rest of them were on the opposite side of the track. You got to know them, but not personally well.
For Al Steinauer, as the decades passed, work on the Soo Line was changing in the roundhouse. Technology was a huge factor.
In a lot of ways, I was becoming obsolete. The technology was changing. I was having more and more difficulty keeping up. Right now, The locomotive is computerized. Everything's computerized. The electronics, to me, we're becoming more and more difficult to work with all the time. The principles are the same, but the controls are much different.
At times, Al Steinauer's work was dangerous. The Soo Line Railroad emphasized safety. However, there were accidents involved.
A very dangerous place. Things happen so quickly. Like I was saying, you're working with 600 volts, 1,000 amps, and you're working right next to it. Any slip or something like this leads to serious injuries or death. I've seen a couple of nasty injuries. We're on a derailment, and we're lifting a car, and the person standing right next to me all of a sudden just folded up, and what amounted to was the rail had been hung up by the car, come on like a snake, and broke his ankle so quick that you never even realized it happened to him. The car fell when they were lifting on a derailment over in Harvey and crushed a fellow. Dangerous. I remember working in just on the low voltage side, a fellow at a pipe fitter, and the starting contactors, which are full 64 volt, and they're huge batteries. They are they're probably 8 inches wide, 15, 16 inches tall, and probably about 2.5 feet long. Each one's 8 volts, so he had 64 volts. He was taking a nut loose on his on a pipe fitting. His crescent wrench slipped, and it went across these two starting contactors. And when we came to him, he was standing with his hands between his legs and all bent over in a lot of pain. And he asked him what happened. He turned his hand open, and both his hands, and they were blowing right to the bone. Never saw the man again.
Despite very long hours and less than ideal conditions, Al Steinauer loved his job with the Soo Line Railroad for both professional and personal satisfaction.
But I worked with wonderful people. I was fortunate for the fact that, like I say, I was a rail fan before I became a railroader. I'd done what a lot of people pay money to do, to sit there and get dirty and watch a train that you worked on go up and down the track or operate it type of thing. You know, I was on the ground floor.
Northwest Minnesota Roads of Steel is supported by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and produced by KSRQ Radio, Pioneer 90.1.